Foundations Lesson Number 3, Salvation, Part 4. Roman numeral number 3 on our outline deals with the use of the word salvation in the scripture. So far in this lesson, I've used the word salvation to refer to someone entering the family of God by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Of course, the Bible does use the word salvation that way, referring to a past act by which a believer has been saved from the penalty of sin. But additionally, the Bible uses the word salvation to mean a present outworking by which a believer is being saved from the power of sin, and also a future hope when a believer will be saved from the presence of sin. So that no one gets confused when they come across these occurrences of the word salvation in their daily Bible reading, I'd like to point some of them out to you. As we've already seen, the word salvation can refer to what happens when we accept Christ into our lives. Mark 16, 15-16 says, "He," Jesus, "said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" Acts 16, 30-31. "He brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" So if you're a Christian today, you've already received God's salvation. But you're also being saved, being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ. The outworking of your salvation is taking place daily as God continues to set you free from sinful thoughts, habits, and desires. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." 1 Peter 1:9, "For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Philippians 2:12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have already obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So if you're a Christian today, the Bible declares that you're being saved, that God is continuing to rescue you from the fear, the anger, the pride, the rebellion, the bitterness, the lust, and the other sinful tendencies we all battle. But there's also a future salvation that you can look forward to. 1 Peter 1:5, "Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Romans 13:11, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Romans 5:9, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" So if you're a Christian today, you can and you need to look forward to that glorious day after your life in this physical body is over, when Jesus' work on the cross will be applied to your life so fully that the very sin nature you inherited from Adam and Eve will be removed from you. I, for one, am greatly looking forward to receiving God's salvation in that aspect. It should make me a whole lot easier to live with, too. Before closing this lesson on salvation, I want to share the following testimony. What happens to someone who searches for truth, never hears about Christ, and then dies? Ever asked that question? Here's a true story from Iran, which shed some light on this question. There was a man living in Tehran who always wanted to find the truth. He never had any contact with committed Christians. He never heard the gospel. Old age approached, and he had a very serious stroke. He was rushed to the hospital and was semi-conscious for 3 days. His family were by his bedside most of the time, and his son was there day and night. The son longed for his father to say a few words. The father never spoke, and after 3 days, he died. A few days later, the son had a vivid dream. His father came to him and spoke about those last days in the hospital. "When I was in the hospital, I saw Jesus. He told me that he was the one I'd always been looking for. He told me he was the truth, and the only way to meet God was to believe in him." So there, semi-conscious, this old man became a believer. Jesus didn't let him enter eternity alone. In the dream, the father went on to apologize to his son for not talking to him. He said, "But for those 3 days, I was all the time with Jesus. That's why I couldn't talk to you." The father's final words were, "Go and tell all the family about Jesus." The next morning, the son was very excited, but very nervous. What would the rest of the family say if he asked them to believe in Christ? With apprehension, he sat down at the breakfast table. He noticed his younger sister wasn't there. When he asked where she was, they said she was upset. So he went to get her. She was sitting on her bed, knees up, head down, and crying. He sat down and gently took her hand. "What's the matter?" he asked. "I've had a dream, but you'll be upset." She looked at her brother, a little frightened. "Don't worry, I won't get angry," he said. So she told him her story. They had both had the same dream. All 13 members of this family are now believers. Please don't use this story as an excuse to become lazy in sharing the message of salvation with those who need to hear it. We have a responsibility to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll learn more about that in lesson number 7. But let's also remember that God has ways of communicating with people and drawing people to himself that are even beyond our imagination. He is God. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing. Amen. God bless you all.